Well, we got the But God series. Tonight's message is called, get this, Positioned for Possession. Positioned for Possession. You know, I'm convinced, I don't know, there's types and shadows throughout the Bible. And actually, you know, when God delivered Israel out of Egypt, that was a type of getting saved. When Israel came out of Egypt, they went into the wilderness, that was a type of getting saved. And then when they crossed the Jordan, that some have even likened that to like, that's getting filled with the Holy Spirit. In the Bible terms, it's saying that they crossed over through the wilderness, crossed over the Jordan into the promised land. I believe every one of us have a promised land. I believe, Jesus said it this way. He says, God has come to give us life and get this life more abundantly. How many of you know that we got life more abundantly and God has called us to a life more abundance? I believe that speaks of the promised land that God has ready for us. There's nothing more passionate than a pastor that just overwhelms my heart than to see when people take their place and their God-given destiny that they've served and stepped into their purpose in life. You know, because too often, it just seems like there's a pattern. Now, sometimes people, they get saved, they're on fire for about a year, they're excited, they're obedient, and they can't wait to get to church. And then after maybe a year or two, they get kind of familiar with it, maybe even a little bit bored, and maybe even, how about this, they start crossing over into a little bit of criticism, and maybe a little bored, and maybe just service is a little mundane. And then you start thinking, man, I thought there was a... You know, I really thought there was a more of God. I thought there was a promised land that I'm supposed to... Jesus says he'd give us life and life more abundantly, but my life is just kind of okay right now. How many ever just... I know you don't have to raise your hand, but I've been there where it's like, what is going on? And then if we haven't really realized that there is a promised land that exists for each and every one of us, if we don't realize that, we'll start looking abroad. We'll start thinking, you know, you'll start thinking, well, I know I'm married, but, you know, this woman at the office, she sure is good looking, and she sure is eyeing me a little bit. She's kind of flirting with me a little bit, makes me feel a little good about myself. And so you start meditating and start, as Pastor Dan talked this morning about, how about temptation, fighting, you start feeling a little bit tempted, and you start flirting those ideas. And you know what? And then some people, because they've taken their eyes off this goal and this great life that God has, and they begin to fix it off. And you know what? Granted, if you start looking to that direction to be fulfilled, there is a little bit of adventure to it. Like, you're going to lose everything you got. And you're going to lose the respect of your kids, and your wife is going to take you. I mean, there's adventure, but you know, it's not the adventure that God has called us to. There is a little bit of risk in this promised land living. And there is adventure, and there's joy. And you know, I actually worked with a girl, and she actually went through the hardest time. She had three kids, and I think three of them, they were all under the age of five. One was only about 6 months old. And I remember I told her about not getting married to the guy she married, and she had three kids with him, and she ended up marrying this guy. And he left her. He left her for another woman. And so now she's struggling. She's reached her all-time low, and she knew I was a Christian, so I began to just minister and share Christ with her. She started going to church. And this extreme brokenness that she had gone through, God began to heal her, take her out of a horrible situation, and she began to see that I don't need this husband to fill this void in my life. God is my husband. He's the father to my children. She began to see hope when there was hopelessness. And anyways, she walked with God probably about 2 years. And just, I mean, when the church doors opened, she was there. Always there. When the church was open, she was in Bible study. She was helping out in children's church. She was excited. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When you're excited for Jesus, you can't keep you out of the church. Anyways, I still remember to this day, we were walking down the hall. I used to work with her, like I said. We were walking down the hall at the hospital. And she just remembered, I love the Lord, but she says, I'm just so lonely. I'm just so lonely. And I says, well, you know, God will fill up that void. But yeah, I know, but it's just not the same. I'm just so lonely. And she began to divert her attention from the things of God. And what ended up happening, after 2 years of serving the Lord, then if you start speaking that stuff, the devil will oblige you. And he brought some guy, not saved. He was just in trouble, not a real good guy, but he was a relationship. He helped fill a void that she felt like she had in her life. She started dating him, and I says, don't do it. I warned her time and time again, don't do it. She ended up going with it, and next thing you know it, she's out of church. She stopped going to church, stopped reading her Bible. One day we talked. She says, I notice you're a little standoffish. I says, yeah, you can do whatever you want. But she says, what's wrong with this guy? I says, well, let's put it this way. When you were at your all-time low, he wasn't there. When your kids were crying at night, missing daddy, he wasn't there. And when your heart was completely broken, he wasn't there. But God was. And God nursed you back on your feet, put a joy and a spark in your eye and a purpose in your heart, and you let it go. And you forgot what God has done. I'm telling you, we all have a purpose and a promised land. Look at somebody and say, I got a purpose and a promise. Say that. I got a purpose and a promise for my life. How many ever seen The Lion King? That's right. You know, I went through a period of my life where just God, you know, where I didn't watch any TV at all. I was in the dark ages when it came through TV and movies and stuff. And I remember I was working and some little child had a little lion on a little stuffed animal on the bed, and she just said, "No, this lion." She says, "Let's call this lion Simba." And I'm like, "What a great name!" I was like, "That's really cool." And then they had another lion on the bed, and she says, "Oh, and we'll call that Mufasa." I'm like, "Wow, this lady's really creative. That is a great name." And I never seen the movie, and then she told me that it was The Lion King. Oh, wow, I felt real bright on that one. So I went and I had to go watch The Lion King, and I saw The Lion King, and of course, you know, it's such a great movie. And actually, I was doing a little research on it, and they says that the writers of the show based it off of the Bible, the life of Moses and the life of Joseph, and they came up with the movie Lion King. But anyways, there's a scene in the movie, you know, the movie talks about, you know, Mufasa is the king lion and Simba is the child of Mufasa. And then there's Scar, that's the brother of Mufasa, and he wants the land, he wants to run the kingdom. Well, Mufasa dies, you know that, and then Scar steps in, lies to Simba and says, you killed your father, so Simba runs off into the wilderness. You remember that? And then he grows up, and Hakuna Matata is out, no worries. You remember that? No worries. And the adopts, just blow everything off. And I think some people have adopted that so they don't have the pressures of the life. And really, the Lord says he'll carry our burdens, but we just get a carefree attitude that's just, who cares? It's what will be, you know. And Hakuna Matata, you know. And then there was a crazy monk. And anyways, he comes to this baboon, he comes up to Simba and he says, you know what, you're not living out your purpose, you're not living out your calling. And then he told Simba, look in the water. And he says, who do you see? He says, I see me. He says, look again. You know, clubs him on the head and look again. And he looked and then he saw who he was. He saw his father. He saw who his father was. And then there was a voice that came out and says, Simba, you're more than what you've become. You're more than what you've become. And then the voice says, don't forget who you are. I believe there's greatness in this room, and I believe God has ordained each and every one of us to greatness. And I believe there is a promised land that God has designed for each and every one of us. Now listen, it says, I heard someone say this, if money wasn't an issue, what would your heart's desire be? If money was an issue, what would you do with your money? And what would you dream about? What would you do? Now, as Christians, we should have really, I mean, if with a renewed mind, the recreated mind that God has given us, the recreated heart that God has given us, it should be to know God and make Him known. That should just be the ultimate purpose that is rooted in the heart of every believer. And then from there, you know, the success and the prospering and all that will fall in line. But it's to know God and to make God known. What would it be if there was no limitations on the money? What would you do? What would your goal be? Yeah, I'd like to get in a nice rental. Get me some gold teeth. What's your vision? What's your vision? Would it be to make God known and to know Him more? What keeps us from it? What keeps us from it? I was just thinking, what keeps people? It grieves me when people, this incredible walk that God has called us to, and we're not walking it. It just, as a pastor, you know the excitement, the thrill, and you see people walk away. What? Why? 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 Jesus says, I came to give you life, and what? Life more abundantly. What's going on? Why aren't we doing it? We get bored? How about this? Fear? Fear of stepping out? Maybe we fail too much. Maybe we let God down. Maybe the love of other stuff. Trials, maybe get comfortable. You know, the Bible talks about, you know, Abraham went and God promised, told Abraham to go into Canaan. It's going to be your land. Did you know Abraham's dad, the Bible says, in a couple passages says he was on his way to Canaan. Did you know that? Abraham's dad was on his way to Canaan. That Canaan, by the way, is the promised land. He was on the way, and then it said that he settled. Get this. Settled in Haran. He settled. Now, some have said that Haran actually was a place of just springs and lots of fruit and abundance. So it could have been he just got comfortable. Why aren't we going to possess our land? Maybe we get comfortable. But here's another little factor to throw in about Abraham. And did you know his dad, before he was on his way to Haran, and then he was on his way to Canaan, when he stopped in Haran, right before that, did you know he lost his son? His son died. Remember, that's why Abraham took Lot in. Did you know the name of Abraham's son was Haran? Abraham's dad. Did you know his name was Haran? So maybe it was this. Maybe he didn't go into the promised land that was promised because of tragedy. How many people do we see that tragedy hit and they just think, I don't have no more motivation. I have no more reason. I want you to know there's a promised land. And I pray tonight we got that God stirs us up to become what? More. To become more. To get the vision. That the voice that Simba heard. He says, you're more than what you've become. Think about it. You're more than what... Can that be true? Could that be true about you? You're more than what you've become. And then the voice says, remember who you are. Now tonight, I'm talking about position for possession. There's a story I'm going to read from Numbers about a promised land that God had promised. And how many remember God had promised the promised land? He says, you guys, I want Moses, I want you to send out 12 spies to go spy out the land. Now I'm going to be in Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13, verse 1. See if that comes up. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. I'm going to read verse 1, it says, the Lord now said to Moses, send out men to explore the land of Canaan, the land I am giving to be the Israelites. Now I'm going to jump to verse 27. This was the report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces. But the people say, but. Say, but. It says, but the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live in
Negev and the Hittites, the Jebusites and the Amorites live in all the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of Macedonia, the Mediterranean Sea, and along the Jordan Valley. Verse 30.
But Caleb
quieted the people as they stood before Moses. "Let's go at once, take the land," he said. "We can certainly conquer it." Verse 31. But the other men. Who had explored the land with him disagreed. "We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are." So they spread this bad report. You know, I like the King James. It says they spread this evil report about the land among the Israelites. "The land traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw there were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers," and that's what they thought too. If we are to position for possession, number one point is, don't diminish your promise. Don't diminish your promise. It says right there, Numbers 13:2, it says that God said to send out men to explore the land of Canaan. Notice, the land I am giving to the Israelites. What did he say? I'm giving it to them. It's their inheritance. Don't diminish your promise. Now, you know, there was a minister who used to say, he says, you know, faith can get perverted. You know, people start believing for crazy things that aren't the will of God. But he did say this, faith, true faith in God begins where the will of God is known. So God said to go what? Go take the promise. Go take the land. I'm giving it to you. Oh, I turned my page. I'm like, where did my notes go? Now look at this. I want to draw attention to verse 27. It says, "This was the report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it indeed is a bountiful country." Notice, a land flowing with milk and honey, and here's the fruit. Notice, that was the report on the land. That was the good report. But verse 28 says, "But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live in Negev, and the Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley." Here's what I want to draw attention to. God gave us a promise. They completely abandoned what God had said because they saw how big and how mighty the enemies, the obstacles. How often do we feel that God has told us, go to Bible school. Oh, start a business. Oh, I think you need to step out and you've been in a relationship and God is dealing with you. It's time to marry the girl. And sometimes we just like, I just want to have all my ducks in order. You know, I want to have about 100 grand in the bank. And you just want to finish school. And some of that stuff is practical. But a lot of times you can look at the obstacles and you just begin to forget the goodness what God has said. God just said, these people said, the land flows. It's a good land. But it's just totally overshadowed because of complaints, of fear. How many times has fear talked you out of what God wants you to do? Maybe God wanted you to witness to somebody. Maybe God wanted you to witness at the mall, and the fear. And God is saying, this is the one thing that will cross you over into your promised land. Did you know you can't, this is just the proof of life. I mean, just the proof of your walk with God. The key to more, or the key to your promised land, is stewardship of what you have your hand to right now. Do you know that? The key to more is what you're doing with what you got right now. Sometimes we talk about, when I get there, and God wants you to just say, be on time. He wants you to serve in the church. He wants you to just be an example and a light on your job. And sometimes you can't go to the more because you haven't passed the test here. God wants you to be a good husband. He wants you to be a good wife. And you're just not going to go on to your promised land because you haven't even passed that.
How could God commit more if we haven't passed the test? Look at somebody and say, pass the test.
Pass the test.
Now, listen to this. They saw the giants. When God said to go spy out the land, here's what I believe. I believe that God was sending these spies to go spy out the land so he can see, so all the people could see what's going to be theirs. It was to be an encouragement. It was like, oh my gosh. In fact, and that's what Deuteronomy says. You're going to have houses you didn't build. You're going to have wells you didn't dig. You're going to have farms you didn't plant. And your hands are, your houses are going to be full. This is a good land. Now listen to this. How many went out? 12. But it said 10 came back with a bad report. 10 got caught up in what they were seeing. First point was, don't diminish your promise. Don't get caught up in what you see and let it steal what's real in your heart. Because you know why? I heard someone say this. I love this. Your heart, what God has done, your heart will take you places where your head won't fit. Spying out the Latin was supposed to be an encouragement. That backfired, didn't it? Number two. Second point. If we're going to position ourselves for possession, to live a but God kind of life, we got to quiet the lies and remember what God has done. Got to quiet the lies. Because, you know, once God has promised, the devil's going to try to thwart it. He's going to try to twist it. He's going to try to say it's too big. God isn't real. God can't handle it. You can't handle it. A lot of times we know God can handle it. Sometimes we don't know if we can. Quiet the lies. Verse 30, it says, but Caleb quieted the people as they stood before Moses. What are you going to have to do? When everything in your life is screaming, it says, you're a fool. Why are you going to church? Why do you believe that stuff? You read your Bible. Why are you even, that is fairy tale. Why are you even reading that Bible? And people, you're going on the mission field. You're spending money to go to Bible school. Your own money, your hard-earned money. You go to Bible school, spend money. And you're going to have to learn to quiet people's opinions. And you know, in the process of quieting people's opinions, you know what it's going to take sometimes? And I'm sorry, but this is just the truth. You're going to have to stand alone sometimes. You're not going to have support sometimes. You just know some things are true in your heart. You know that the promises of God, you know there's a better life that exists. You know that whatever the Bible says, whatever you put your hands to will prosper. You just know it. And sometimes you just got to encourage yourself even in the midst of no encouragement. It says, Caleb quieted the people. This is probably one of the biggest battles. And I think most people would have to agree. How many know devil doesn't work? I mean, the devil can harass. He'll harass you, but a lot of times the biggest battles are won right between your ears. How many know what I mean? Quiet in your mind. It's, you know, and in your carnality. Did you know the Bible says carnality, the natural thinking, the mind that doesn't think like God? Did you know it says it's an enemy to God?
Yeah.
To just not think like God. It says it's an enemy to God. And it says Caleb quieted the lies. He quieted, and you can actually, I'm putting it this way, quiet your enemies. Quiet the lies. And here's one of the tools that I've done, I've used them. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into the captivity
to the obedience of Christ. Notice, the weapons of our warfare, they're not of this world. They're mighty. Now, where it says mighty to the pulling down of strongholds, you know what stronghold actually means? There's a, when you look it up in the Greek, it actually, it's something that you once relied upon. Now, other than God, it's something casting down imaginations and every stronghold. Listen to this. I'm going to read it again. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for the pulling down of things you once relied upon. Other than God. Sometimes, you know what? I know life is hard and some of you have had bad and hurtful past. But sometimes we hide behind that and say, we just can't come out because that's just the way I am. I act this way because I had a bad situation growing up. And I just can't come out. The Bible says, don't stand behind the stronghold. Don't stand. It says, pulling down strong anything you relied upon. You're self-sufficient. How about your education? How about some of you just really witty? You're just really, really smart. And you've always relied upon your intellect and your talents and your cunningness. It says, what does it say? Pulling down anything that you've relied upon other than God. And it says, casting down imaginations. Anything that's contrary to what God says, it says, cast it down. You know, I think the first couple of years, man, I think I said that scripture 100 times a day. You know, you start worrying about the future. I cast that down. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Something come against you. I cast that down in the name of Jesus. You're going to be alone all your life. I cast that down. Nobody's going to like you. I cast that down in the name of Jesus. You're never going to amount to anything. I cast it down in the name of Jesus. You're never going to prosper. You're never going to move out of your neighborhood. I cast it down. You're never going to get healed. I cast it down in the name of Jesus. You got to learn to cast things down. You need to quiet the lies. Now listen to this. I was reading this a while back ago. And then it says, bringing every thought into the captivity to the obedience of Christ. Notice, bringing every thought into the captivity to the obedience of Christ. Everything. Bring it to the submission of Christ. Every thought. Now here's what I felt like the Lord. Whatever we don't take captive. Thoughts, ungodly thoughts, ungodliness. I felt like the Lord says, whatever you don't take captive in your life, we eventually take you captive. How many into taking your promised land? How many into taking your promised land? Well, you got to quiet the lies and remember what God has done. You got to quiet the lies. Psalm 62, verse 1 and verse 5, it says, my soul silently waits upon God. From Him comes my salvation. Notice, my soul silently waits. Notice, my soul silently. You got to quiet the lies. How many of you know when you're going through stuff and there's bill collectors and your health and maybe a relationship is in jeopardy and you're receiving some horrible kind of persecution in your life, and you've had some injustices done to you. How many know it's hard to sleep some nights? You just run this stuff crazy in your head. You know what I'm saying? And it just goes. Listen to this. The scripture says, my soul silently waits upon God. I just wait upon you right now. I refuse to think up anything, but our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. You don't let anything else in, but just His greatness. Just His greatness. You're quiet. Your mind stays silent upon the Lord. I hope this helps you. And that's why that's the importance of the Word of God. It gives you something to meditate on your head instead of the mess. Amen. It says, my soul silently waits upon God. From Him comes my salvation. Look at this, verse 5. My soul silently waits upon God alone. From Him comes my expectation. My soul, I'm going to tell you, this scripture saved my life. I was going through some times and I just couldn't. You're just so much is going through your head. You don't know whether to scream, cry, or punch something.
And I remember I opened my Bible to Psalm 62 and I said, my soul silently waits. And I just, all I did is, my soul, I just wait upon you, God, right now. I just wait upon you right now. And then after, just supernatural peace just came and began to envelop me. And then I'd go, but God, you know there's some giants in the land, you know, and there's this going on in my life. And then the peace would leave. Just leave. And then that fear just would begin to torment. And then I'd go direct, Lord, my soul silently waits upon you. And then the peace of God would just rest upon me. And then once the peace is like, you know, God, if you would just step in and just do, and then the peace would lift. You know how long I did that? 3 hours. And I finally realized God wants my mind to be silent. And just know he's God. You know, the Bible's really good in Psalm 46. Be still and know he's God. My soul needs to stay silent. So quiet the lies and remember what God has done. You know, there's power in remembering what God has done. So it said that Caleb quieted the people. You got to quiet. There's a reason that Jesus, you know, I'm not going to give this illustration. Let me keep going. Zip, rewind. Here we go. Numbers 13:30. But Caleb quieted the people as they stood before Moses. And here's what Caleb said. Let's go at once. Take the land, he said. We certainly can conquer it. We certainly can conquer. To take the stance, we have to know who we are. To say such a thing. Immediately, he didn't calculate it. He didn't analyze it. He said, let's go right now. Anybody with me? And it's like, me and you, Joshua. And me and Joshua. There's a million of us, and we got me and Joshua. He's ready. Caleb's a bad boy. So number one, he quieted the people. Then he says, let's go at once and take the land. We certainly will conquer it. I believe here's why Caleb, he refused to think upon what he saw. He refused to think upon all the obstacles that that he was facing. He refused. I believe he was saying, you know what? I think there's something to this thing. God brought 10 plagues upon the Egyptians, and then they let us go, which was a supernatural act. And then they came after us, and we were pressed up against the Red Sea. And God split the Red Sea, and then we went through the Red Sea, and then he drowned all the Egyptians in the entire Red Sea. I think God can handle it. I know God is able. I know God is able. This is actually a funny, the power of remembering. Never forget what God has done. Remember, never forget the sleepless nights. Never forget when supernatural provision came when you didn't have enough. Remember, never forget when you had supernatural peace that put you to sleep at night. Never forget. There's power in remembering where you've come from. This is a funny story. I wasn't saved, by the way, but this is a funny story. I remember I played football. When I was a freshman, and I didn't play when I got older, but when I was a freshman in high school, our football team, I tried out late for the football team. So I remember in eighth grade, all the guys who played young American football, and they all wore their jerseys to school, and they looked really cool, and my dad would never let me play any. And I always wanted to play. And so my dad finally says, you can play. So the team had already been practicing for 2-3 weeks. And first time I had to have people help me put on my equipment because I didn't know how to do it. But I'm going to get to play. My dad's going to let me play. And so all I know was just I wanted to win and I wanted to take people out. I just didn't know how to do it. I knew I wanted to do it though. And so I remember the first, you know, his name was Andrew. He was an all, you know, Yaffle, all city running back for however old, you know, what are you, 14 when you're, you know, ninth grade. So he's all sitting there. He had the ball, and I'm playing linebacker. And I went, and I tackled him, and it was an okay tackle. And I'm like, you know, after you get done hitting somebody, you're like, you know, you're ready. The adrenaline's going, you know. And then I thought that was kind of fun. I mean, I think I can give this a real go. And then I just went crazy. And just like anytime someone got the ball, I wanted to kill them. I just was completely beside myself. So I ended up getting a position on the team. And we ended up winning city in Albuquerque, and where I was brought up. So the next year, here's the power of remembrance. So I had a little bit of attitude. I knew I could play football. And at that time, you know, when you're a sophomore, you know, I wasn't a bad size. I never grew since then, but I was a pretty good sophomore then. I was a pretty good sophomore. I'm a pretty good size sophomore. And so anyways, my dad at this time was a principal. He was a principal at a high school. And the high school my dad was at was like the glory high school. I mean, they had the best sports. They're always winning state. They were the rich kids. They lived up in the Heights. Where I went to high school previously, this is funny, but I had a bad accent. I used to talk like this. Orale, you know, Taco Bell. And the only words I knew were the bad ones. And so I used to talk like this, and man, we're going to win this game, man. You can't believe it now, but that's how I used to talk. So I was going to the rich kids' school. Now, I was going to go to the rich kids' school because I wanted to play sports. My dad was a principal at this school. I tried out late again. So my dad says I can play football. And they went through 3 weeks of practice. This is funny. I was telling Dion the story just a while back ago, but I was crazy. And here I'm the only kid. They knew that I was the principal's kid. And I came out late, and it's almost like they're all mad dogging me, but I was mad dogging them too. I was like, the whole team, I'm sitting there, gringos, rich gringos. I was like, I'm going to get you. And I was. That's funny. And so the coaches knew it, and they're like, you know, let's see if this coach's son has any, you know, the principal's son, let's see what he's made of. So they blew the whistle. I remember they says, Nutcracker! They did it on purpose. And Nutcracker, back then, I don't know if they still call it that, it's when you have guys about 12, 15 yards apart from each other. The coach blows the whistle. You're both lying on your back. And he blows the whistle, and one guy picks up the ball, and you just run at each other full speed and just crack. And I was like, yeah, I was excited. And so I was a little nervous, but rich kids, I'm taking you out, baby. And so he blows the whistle, and the first guy, just crazy. And then it took one hit, and it was the craziest thing going beside yourself. You just wanted to hurt somebody. And then you take out the next guy, and you hit the next guy, and you hit the next guy. And I made the team. And immediately there was respect and built friendships. What's the point? The whole point of saying that is I remembered. I remember what had happened the year before, the successes. And here's what Caleb did. He had to remember where he came from. He had to remember that, what God had done, and not to forget. You know, when you realize who God is and what he's done, you can have a little bit of attitude. I ain't going down. I'm not going to die of no sickness. I am coming at you. We got to get a little Caleb attitude about possessing. We got to get a little bit excited about what God has called us to do. We got to realize and we got to want what God has called us to do. Amen? Amen. My last point. You look at your neighbor and say, are you ready for this? Now listen to this. Numbers 13:30, it says, but Caleb quieted the people. Verse 31, it says, But the other men who explored the land with him disagreed. We can't go up against them. But. So, third point. You got to decide whose butt you're going to look at. It's B-U-T, but.
Verse 31, it says, but the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed with Caleb. We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we. So they spread this bad, evil report about the land among the Israelites. The land we travel through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw are huge. We are even giants. They are the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. And that's what they thought too. Notice, when you lose sight of who God is, you'll lose sight of who you are. And you'll begin to reduce and diminish who you are. Just because of this. Listen, I'm going to jump to Numbers 14, and I'm going to read this. I don't need to give much of an explanation here. I think the text makes it very clear. It says, but Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes when the people said this. And they spoke to the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into the land and give it to us. A land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land. For they are but bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And all the congregation said, this went over real well. It says, stone them! Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all of the children of Israel. Numbers 14, 22. Now listen, I'm going to read more. It says, because of all these men who have seen my glory and my signs, which I did in Egypt, in the wilderness, and have put me to the test now these 10 times, and have not heeded my voice, they certainly shall not see the land which I swore to which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. But
God said,
but my servant Caleb, because he was of a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it.
We got to decide what we're going to live by. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. You can assess, how many know you can assess your situation till you're blue in the face? But you just got to decide what you're going to listen to. Whose report are you going to believe? Do you believe that you're more than a conqueror through the one Christ Jesus? Do you believe that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world? Do you believe that no weapon formed against you shall prosper? Do you believe that you'll tread upon serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy? Do you believe it? Because that's what needs to be our meditation. Now, sometimes we downplay. Well, everybody gets a little afraid and everybody fears here and there. Yeah, sometimes when we get news, we do. That's sometimes kind of our knee-jerk reaction. But there comes a place that what needs to dominate our life is the Word of God and what He said. Because Caleb took such a stance. He said, we're taking them out. I don't care if nobody's going with me. I'm taking them out. And the Lord commented, Caleb. We see, in our churches today, we would say, oh, he's cocky. Who does he think he is? I mean, God, we murmur and complain about him. But God says, he's my servant, Caleb. He's of another spirit. He's of another spirit. And because he has fully obeyed me, he's going to enter. Amen. Amen. So, positioning for possession. This is the But God series. Number one. I had a number of my pages. Don't diminish the promises. Don't make them lighter. Number two, you got to quiet the lies and remember what God has done. And number three, Whose butt are you looking at? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Did you get anything?
Yeah.